I know word is spreading quickly from the masses yesterday evening, but I wanted to start with an update from Beacons of Light for people who haven't heard yet. As many of you are aware, our family of parishes being grouped together, and that's going to be implemented July 1st, is going to include both St. Mary of the Woods and St. Patrick, as well as the four churches in Champaign County. So that will become one family of parishes. The priest assignments are going to be publicly released tomorrow on Monday, but we're allowed to announce those at Mass this weekend. The Archdiocese asks that we don't post anything on social media until tomorrow because they have a media release campaign. But we will be assigned two priests in our family of parishes. There will be one pastor, who's the priest who's in charge of everything, and then one vicar, a parochial vicar, who's basically an assistant who works with and under the pastor. So we'll be assigned two priests. I have been assigned as the pastor for this family of parishes. So I will be staying put, and the parochial vicar is listed as projected, meaning they haven't told us or released who that's going to be yet. There's nine spots that are listed as projected. Seven of those are going to be filled with the newly ordained priests in May, and they announce those assignments at the ordination mass. So it's likely that we'll get one of those, and then there's a couple other priests that would fill in those other two spots. So we'll have to wait a little while to know for sure who our assistant priest is going to be. And I will say, after being here for 6 years, I have grown pretty attached to these parishes and you know, the people here. So I was praying that I would be able to stay. You know, God's will, whatever he calls. But, you know, I was praying that I would be able to stay. And I'm grateful to God that it worked out this way. So, you know, I think that the most important thing for a pastor is that he loves his people. You know, and is willing to sacrifice and to lead them to salvation and to Jesus Christ. And so I think there's a lot of very positive things that have happened in the past 6 years. You know, I've seen the Holy Spirit at work, you know, leading people to deeper conversion, to a deeper faith in the Eucharist, and, you know, deeper reverence at Mass. And, you know, I think our parish in many ways is stronger and more devout today than it was several years ago. So, you know, the Holy Spirit's at work, and the Holy Spirit does not disappoint, and that's going to continue. So, you know, there will be challenges. You know, things are not going to run exactly the same, you know, with, you know, joining the two counties together. But, you know, we'll face those challenges as they come. But the most important thing is the Holy Spirit is at work, and, you know, that work will continue. So, our readings today have a very interesting lesson built in. And I find two things interesting about the readings. And the first thing is they give us the secret to true happiness in life. You know, how is it that we flourish as human beings and can be fully alive? You know, how many people search for that and would love to know how to find true and authentic happiness? Because so many people don't have that. And so, so we find that in our readings today. And it's not like some self-help book, but it's lessons and wisdom from our Creator, the God who created us, teaching us how to find happiness. And the second thing that I find interesting is how many people are not living in accord with that path to happiness. And so I think it's important that we hear these lessons and reflect upon them and make sure that we orient our lives in accord with what truly brings happiness, and that we don't fall for some false imitation or something that's not going to lead us in the right path. So in our first reading, Jeremiah talks about people who seek strength in the flesh. And he's talking about people who seek their happiness in worldly things around us. And one of the dangers of doing that is those things are eventually going to be taken away from us. And so think about the danger of orienting our hearts and our lives on something that we know is going to be taken from us. What are we going to be left with? In the end, we'll be left with nothing if we place our hearts on something that's going to be taken from us. And so we all, I'm sure, know people who seek wealth as the most important thing. That's the most important thing that they seek in life, is possessions or financial gain. Everything that we accumulate in this world will be taken from us. We don't get to keep any of that. And what are we going to be left with if that's the most important thing to us? I'm sure we all know people who seek their happiness in physical pleasure. You know, whether it's food or whether it's lust, you know, they seek momentary pleasure. But it's gone as soon as it comes. And it doesn't provide any lasting fulfillment. People have to constantly seek that pleasure again and again. And the longer they do that, the less satisfied they become. They become slaves to a pleasure that leaves them emptier and emptier over time. And that will eventually be taken from us. You know, some people make sports the most important thing in their life, but that can end with a single injury, you know, or as we get older. You know, I looked on the U.S. Olympic team, the oldest athlete is 40 years old. You know, age catches up with us eventually. And so, you know, there's only so much time that someone has, and a single injury can end someone's career. And so some of these things are fine in moderation, you know, if we have a healthy detachment from them. You know, we need food to survive. It's good to have hobbies to relax in our free time. But when those things become primary and the most fundamental thing, then we're lost. And so our readings point to what brings true fulfillment. And the only source of true peace and fulfillment is when we place our hearts on something that will not be taken away from us, and something that doesn't enslave us to our own desires. You know, our deepest hope needs to be in Jesus Christ, because our hearts are created for the infinite. We're not created for finite things. No finite thing will ever satisfy us. Our hearts are created for the infinite. And if our hope is truly in Jesus Christ, then nothing can take that away from us. You know, no injury is going to take Jesus Christ away from us. No job loss or physical illness is going to take him away from us. We're not going to lose that relationship as we get older. Even in death, when we lose every possession that we've accumulated, for people whose hope is in Jesus Christ, death is gain, because that means we'll be able to see him face to face. And so Jesus says in the gospel that the people are blessed, they're happy who hunger, those who hunger for God, those who suffer for him and suffer with him, and those who are poor because they place their riches not in the things of this world, but their riches are in Jesus Christ. And so the question for us to reflect upon today is, how are we living? Where are we centering our hearts? Are we truly centering our heart on Jesus Christ as the most important thing? Are we striving for a deeper, richer relationship with him? Are we on that path? Or are we on any other path which is not going to lead to happiness? And when we look at our families, are our families creating an environment that fosters true life? Are our families centered on deepening a relationship with Jesus Christ? And so practically speaking, what would that look like? Well, our psalm today tells us that we need to be meditating upon Scripture day and night. And so the question to ask is, are we meditating on Scripture every day? Are we drinking from the streams of life that Jesus Christ pours out? And are we seeking Eucharistic adoration? Are we seeking time where we come and spend time in prayer in the presence of Jesus Christ? I think those are two very good indicators as to whether we're centering our life on Jesus Christ. If we do that, Jesus Christ gives unmeasurable riches. If we look at the lives of the saints, they all had struggles. They had great difficulties in their lives. But there's also a deep sense of peace and happiness because they're drinking from the grace that Jesus Christ offers. And that prayer and meditating on Scripture truly transforms us, and it changes who we are. And so as we look at these readings today, we have two paths. We have the one path that leads to true and authentic happiness, and every other path. Where are our hearts? and how are we structuring our families? Are they structured in a way that's leading us to true happiness?